All right, we'll go ahead and get started. I'll break my rule and we'll start a little earlier than I wanted to. I just bought the book today, just in case. This is a plug for John Piper's book, if you want to buy the book. 750 Bible Answers to Life's Most Important Questions. So, I mean, it's chock full of good stuff, so it's easy reading if you have I wonder what the Bible says about that. It's a good resource for that, so there you go. I'm sure they have it on Amazon or other places, but... today we'll be talking about smartphones, social media, and selfies. Selfies probably it's probably way down on the list, but the other two are pretty big, important topics. We tackle this at school a lot, so I thought, well, why not tackle it at church as well? I think it kind of relates to us all. Some will probably be more convicted than others, but I think we all have a bit of a problem when it comes to our whether it's your cell phone or the internet, or I mean, you can make this work for a lot of different vices and avenues. But I think if we're honest, we can find a little bit of we can relate in a little way to all of this stuff today. So we're going to dive into that. But first, let's pray for our service this morning. Chris Carmichael, would you care to pray for us? Amen. Thank you. So last week, we covered food, and that was kind of fun because, you know, God made food and he wants us to enjoy it. And, you know, I know there were some eyebrows raised when we started talking about food, and you all, immediately our legalistic minds start thinking, oh, what can I not do? What are the rules? But really, last week was pretty, hey, we can enjoy food. This week, a little different. It's not quite as... get your cell phone out and scroll through the apps all the time. That's not what we're going to be saying. So a little spoiler alert, this is not a really pro cell phone type of Sunday school today. So hopefully there's a little conviction. Piper's got some really good thoughts, really good ideas on how we can better kind of channel that desire we have to get on the phone and scroll, and whatever else you do on the internet. So a couple questions just to kind of start thinking, and we are streaming this, so when you do ask a question or we have discussion, just speak up as loud as you can, and I'll try to repeat some of those questions back to you. How many social media accounts do you have? And these are just some thoughts that you can think about. Some of you probably don't have any, and I'm guessing some have multiples. I'm a Facebook and Twitter guy, or X now, I guess it's called X. That sounds great. But what app is most used on your phone? This one was kind of convicting. You know, when you get up in the morning, what's the first app that your thumb hits? Mine's Facebook, and that's not great. I'm not proud of that, but that's what it is. I don't spend a great deal of time about it, but that is the first thing I check. Like when I'm brushing my teeth, I'm scrolling. Like, that's what we've come to in our society, that we can't be bored for the minute, or 2 minutes, I guess, technically, that we should be brushing our teeth, that we have to get our phone out and look at something while we're brushing our teeth. I could have used going to the bathroom as an example. That would have worked as well, too. But I digress. Yeah, exactly. So just think about that. And again, some people, there's going to be a wide spectrum with this, and I understand that, but... I'm guessing that there are several people like me that's the first thing you do in the morning is you reach for your phone. And that is kind of a scary narrative about what your heart or where your heart is. So that's kind of a good way to kind of flesh out what we're going to look at today. Several questions. John Piper's fielded a lot of questions, as you can imagine, on cell phones and social media. And so we'll start with posting to the glory of God. So again, kind of like what we talked about last week with food, everything is to be used for the glory of God. And We'll go back to 1 Corinthians, which we looked at. That was a verse last week. It's a verse this week as well. So 1 Corinthians 10:31, and there's a bunch of verses throughout this morning. Don't feel like you have to get to all of those. We're not going to read all of them, but it is there for your notes later that you can look back at some of these verses. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And that's a great verse. We hear that a lot, and it's really easy to memorize. It's a lot harder to actually put into place. Do all for the glory of God. Doesn't just say some things or what the things you like or don't like. So before we set parameters on social media, we should resolve our aims. How should we use social media? So before we start putting up parameters, like what's our goal? What should we be using these accounts for? And Piper's got three things that he points out that we can use social media for. First of all, to build up and not tear down. And that's Ephesians 4:29. I did kind of bookmark that a little bit because I think that one kind of fits well with some of the other stuff that we'll bring out today. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, and it may give grace to those who hear." So what is coming up on your social media feed? Is it building up or is it tearing down? And this doesn't, I mean, this has a wide practicality. I mean, what's coming out of our mouth? What is coming out of our keyboard? Is it building up or is it tearing down? And we need to be better. We all need to be better, I'm sure, at having a filter on that. Are we seeking the praise and attention of others? Jesus had strong words for that attitude in Matthew and Luke. That's a big red flag whenever we start seeking the praise and attention of others. And that's going to come up again throughout our lesson this morning. But that's pretty serious when you're, especially when we want to bless people and throw our Christian mantle out there for our own attention. That gets pretty serious in a hurry. So that's something to take note of. Better to take John the Baptist's resolve that we decrease and Christ increases. And that's a really good goal to kind of put in there. Am I decreasing so that Christ can increase, or am I increasing for my own glory and maybe using God or my faith as a backdrop for that? Number two, beware the humble brag. And if you've not heard that phrase before, it's something I'm humbled to be invited by the most famous person in the world to their super important event. So basically, I'm bragging all about myself, but making it seem like, oh, I'm just so, this is such an honor and so nice that, you know, these are name drop, it's name dropping, it's, you know, I was at this place, so I couldn't make it to your party, but, you know, you're worming your way in there to get all those brags in without making it seem like you're just completely conceited. And I'm sure you can't think of any posts like that on Facebook at all, right? And we're all guilt, like, I genuinely like looking at people's vacation photos. Genuinely, like that, I think that's fun. But that's a really gray area too. It's like, are you proud of yourself that we'll get into the weeds later, but there's a lot here. I probably should have started earlier than I did. And number three, don't scold in public when it would be more productive to talk in private. So just open up the comments on any social media feed. You know, the debate last week, that was fun. And the comments on that were really entertaining. And I don't know that really fits into this. That just popped into my head and I wanted to throw that in. But especially when you're talking about your community, your brothers and sisters, like, we shouldn't be going on social media with that kind of stuff when we just need to bring them and talk about an issue in private. And honestly, I think that goes, you know, we're so connected now in our world with that thing in our pocket that we can connect to people all the time. And I am super guilty of not wanting to sit down and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody. But how much more valuable is that than a text or a social media post or all the things that we have access to through technology? So just kind of an aside there. But don't scold in public when it would be more productive to talk in private. So those are just kind of some big rocks. Any thoughts on any of that before we move on to our second point? That's a lot, and there's a lot of weeds we can get into. Ben?
I had a few things. One of the things that you mentioned was to build up and not tear down.
Yes.
A lot of people have observed, and it's definitely true, that we're a lot more willing to talk to people over the internet in a way we would never talk to them face to face.
Yes. Yeah.
Or we might even say the same thing, but we'd say it very, very, very differently.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I just, the humble brag, I think this is a very natural verse to connect it to, is, I think it's the religious leaders making it was either about fasting or praying. I don't remember which one, but it said they've had their reward, which is the praise of other people. And I mean, Scripture is really strong on, don't go out of your way to let people see all the good stuff you do.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff is all over Facebook.
Yes.
And even in a very religious light, like, look at this good Christian thing I did.
Right.
The Bible said, okay, you've had your reward. And so I think that's really good for us as Christians.
Yeah.
To remember.
Yeah.
I think that's a big...
Yeah, I think those are both really good points, and just to kind of reiterate, be careful that we don't do those bragging, even about our Christian works. Like, you know, you went and visited somebody and or, you know, did some charity. Well, that's great. It doesn't necessarily need to be on Facebook. The Bible has some very strong cautions against that. And then that test of, would I say it to their face before I start typing it in or sending a text? So the second point is it wrong to seek online fame? And I don't know how, we're probably not any of us influencers in here, but we have a culture that's full of people that seek, and even I would suggest that sometimes we even seek a small measure of online fame. And all you have to do, and I'm guilty of this, you make a post, what do you do in about 2 hours after you made that post? See how many likes you got. Exactly. Before we go to the timeline, I'll go to that other little, what is it, the little bell over there to see, you know, it shoots up the notifications of how many likes or comments that you have. So even to that little degree, you're seeking some kind of online fame. Like, you want it to go viral. You know, I did that dumb rap video to cancel school. But Nolan's back there. Yeah, he helped me with that. Like, that was exciting. Like, that went kind of locally viral. KY3 picked it up, so we were really pumped about that. But I think everybody has that measure of, like, I kind of want some attention for this. So even if you think, well, that's not me, I'm not seeking online fame, yeah, you kind of still want to be famous, so maybe a little bit. So influence is not wrong. So when does influence become fame-seeking? Because we do want to be influential as Christians. We want to have that influence over people in a positive way, but when does that become fame-seeking? So Piper, three things that he points out. The quote there to start, and the problem arises when the pleasure sought in being made much of is greater than the pleasure sought in being of service. So it's really a motivation question. So where does your pleasure come? Does your pleasure come from the big deal that is coming of it, or in being in service for whatever the event is? Be very cautious, and we've talked about this, of doing religious acts in the pursuit of self-glorification. The Bible is pretty serious about that, and there's several verses in Matthew, especially Jesus has a lot of pretty harsh things to say about using your religious acts in the pursuit of self-glorification. Pharisees were really, really good at that, and they got a lot of harsh words from Christ. And the third one, we want to be influential for Christ, but it's a narrow path. Romans 8, 5 through 7. We can turn over and look at that real quick. That's a good one. They're all good. I don't want to say that. Romans 8, verses 5 through 7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So it's a narrow path to be influential, but not be influential for us, to be influential only for Christ. And it goes back to that, Christ increases, I decrease. So is it wrong to seek online fame? Probably, yes, very much. But it's not wrong to try to be influential with your faith and to witness to people and to try to glorify Christ and increase Christ. We just need to make sure we're not increasing ourselves when we increase Christ. Any thoughts on online fame? Yeah.
You have no idea what's going on. Bragging that you know someone out of association, you really could be bragging for the devil's reasons, not God's.
Sure. We've all got friends, but where are the relationships? And that's where, you know, the church body is so good that we, you know, obviously we meet here to glorify God, but we also meet here to fellowship and uplift one another, and we have those relationships, and it's not just I know that person, it's that person's my brother or my sister. And I think that's, you know, it's important that's why the Bible uses those familial terms, is that we do want to be close, and it's the relationship aspect.
So what if it's I think about what the fame part with like actors or something like that, what if it's kind of your, that's what you're trying to pursue it as far as money-wise, and how do you think that plays into the fame part, into the also increasing your views so that you could actually get paid for what you're doing? I'm struggling with that in my brain.
Yeah, that's probably a good one for you. You need to ask John Piper about that, Wade. Wade says, so what? You know, what do you do if that's your income is to, you know, you're trying to build up your count, your followers, so you can make money, but also influence people in a good way. I think that's you got to be really careful doing that. And I think of like celebrities and movie stars and that kind of thing. You know, fame is, they're not really seeking online. They're already famous, but what are you doing with that fame then? And, you know, I know it's corny, but the people that, you know, the athletes that say, you know, the Celtics, when they won the NBA, the guy had a T-shirt on that said, "Ask me about Jesus." That was the first thing he wanted people to see. And those are small things, but I think that's a good way of, like, I'm going to be famous, but how do I use that to build him up and lessen myself? So it's tough. We probably don't have those problems, but some other people do. So, and that kind of leads into our next one. So if we don't want to seek online fame, should we post good works to magnify Christ? So if we understand that we got to be very careful about that, and we don't want to brag, and we don't want to do the whole humble brag thing, should we post our good works to magnify Christ? So how do we let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to God our Father who is in heaven? Matthew 5:16. But also, not practice our righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, Matthew 6, 1. So you've got two verses in Matthew that, you know, how do we balance those two things? So we should aim to serve in secret, but often we can't. So here's three suggestions from Piper about how do we make those two verses work together. Yes? Yeah, I think that's great. The context, it's all about the context. Yes, Ben.
Just to piggyback off of that, I also think that if you are doing something that is by its nature public and people will know about it, it's a good thing then to say, okay, if this is going to be public, how do we make it a public act and act in its best way? Right? There's nothing wrong with saying, okay, it's public, so how do I use this?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be wrong.
Right. Yeah. Kind of goes back to the sports guy that, you know, he's already going to get interviewed. He's going to be famous. So how do I make this as God-honoring as I can?
I think about Paul, where he says, I know a man who was caught up into heaven.
Yeah.
But he never says it was himself.
Right. Right. So taking ourselves out of the equation as much as we can. Yes. Yeah, that's good. So Piper's suggestions, number one, many good deeds cannot be hidden, like we just talked about, but most can. Use the anonymous button test. So he talks about this for a little while, like if you have the option, if there's a button that says you want to donate anonymously, are you hitting that button, or do you want to put your name on it? And I think we as Christians should, if there's an opportunity to push the anonymous button, that's the button that we're going to be pushing. Because that gives the most glory to God and the less glory to ourselves. And that's really hard sometimes because, I mean, if we're honest, it makes us feel good and we kind of like putting our name beside it. But use the anonymous button when we can. Number two, Jesus recalibrates the goal and the end of our love. We do good deeds so that more people will be pulled into worship of the living God. We want people to know, love, serve, glorify, and be with God forever. This should be the passion of our ministry. So why are we doing good deeds? We're not doing good deeds for ourselves. We're doing them so that those people can be brought into the kingdom and experience that love and joy that we have. And then number three, our culture has an insidious desire to be worshiped. Social media is a prime example. It's fleshly, not holy. Works of self-praise are a turnoff. It will deter others, not win them. So those posts that we make that are about us, most of the time, if you're going through and scrolling and you see somebody worshiping themselves or praising themselves, you're going to roll your eyes and move on down. Because you, even if it's a great thing that they're doing, it's a boast. And it's a turnoff. So if we're doing that as Christians, people are going to be turned off to us, and we don't. That's only going to hurt our ministry and our attempt at connecting with that person. So again, just have to be very careful about what we're posting. So.
It kind of reminds me too, like the Bible app, the YouVersion, where you can do Bible studies in the morning.
Yeah.
Where you can tell some of those are actually a commercial for their book for you to buy. It's just a turnoff.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want that.
It's self-serving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sometimes when they're even a preacher, sometimes will get up and say, "Hey, here's my shameless plug about my book. Read my book."
All right. I just plugged John Piper's book, but he's not giving me any credit for that.
Right.
So. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts before we move on?
I'm sure we all do this, but I struggle with comparison a lot.
Yeah.
More likes than yeah. I do. And I posted the same thing. And so it's just a lot of comparison with social media and thinking that their world is so happy when that's all they posted.
Oh, yeah. And that is just a fertile ground for comparison. And really, it's making you feel worse most of the time. You know, we think it's going to make us feel better because we get that little dopamine drip that I'm just going to keep scrolling until something good pops up. And at the end of 30 minutes, you just feel worse about yourself because you're comparing your life to everybody else's that looks, you know, the Facebook life is a very happy place with smiling people all the time. So yeah, it's good comments. So with all that in mind, should I set some goals for social media? Probably so. I think we've established that it's not the most God-honoring arena to be in a lot of the time. So how do we set some goals for ourselves? And Piper has a few principles for edifying others online. We'll get to you later, but first we'll talk about, you know, how can you edify others. So first of all, proclaim Christ, 1 Peter 2:9. The major note of our social media is communicating God's glory to the nations. So our number one communication should be God is great. Pray over your posts, something like let this post be a blessing to someone in need. And those are two things that is just so foreign, I think. It's foreign to me. Like, that's not how I think to use Facebook or Twitter. I think of family for Facebook, and I think of sports for Twitter. Like, and that's, God doesn't really enter my head whenever I'm talking about either one of those platforms. And Piper says the first goal of your communication should be to proclaim Christ. And I follow John Piper on Twitter. I've never seen anything from Piper other than a verse. There might be a verse and a little bit of commentary, but and I remember thinking, that's kind of boring. Like, come on, let's spice it up a little bit. But honestly, that is the safest way to do it, because you're glorifying God and you're keeping yourself out of it as much as you can. The second thing, confront evil. Ephesians 5, 1 Peter. So immediately, I'm sure some of you are like, oh, here we go. I'm going to go confront some evil on Facebook right now. Hold your horses a little bit like that. And Piper says that shouldn't be the dominant beat of your social media life. You should not be scrolling Facebook to find fights to get into to confront evil so that you can be the hero for Jesus. But if you see something, you should say something in love. And that goes back to when we started, like, it may not be something you need to type in. You may need to go to this person and just have a conversation like, you know, hey, I saw that post. Is there something, you know, that you want to talk about? Or you know, it may not need to be in the comment battlefield. But I do think that's something that we are commanded to do, is to confront evil, especially from our Christian brothers and sisters when we see them kind of going off on a crazy direction. Edifying others, John, Romans, Ephesians. If you can give some life-giving, love-offering, grace-filled words, cite scripture, this is the safest way to do good. Minimize self and maximize God's word. And I know that's like, we've repeated that over and over and over, but that's the big tent that all of this falls under. Be exposed. So this is really talking more for yourself. Social media is a picture of what lies within us. Matthew 12:34. What kind of person are you based on your social media? Social media is your heart revealed to the world. Yikes. So I just said Facebook's family, Twitter's sports. What does that reveal about me? That I'm thinking about my family and sports a lot. Where does God come into that? So I told you we were going to be convicting today, and it's, you know, I'll be chief among you. And then the last one there, focus on the cumulative effect. Piper tweets daily. Some are harsh verses, some are tender, but he's hopeful the overall impact will magnify Christ. You know, going back to that one post you make and oh no, this post only got, like Casey was saying, this one got 4, this one got 100. Like, focus on what the cumulative effect. Like, when somebody reads a printout of all of your posts or all of your tweets after, you know, 10 years, what does that look like? What is the overall theme of your online life? Again, that's really convicting. So you can just take that and sleep on it. All right, so we'll move along. And if you got things, jump in. Don't hesitate to do that. But I do want to make sure we get through the rest of this. So can I criticize on social media? We talked about being very careful. You know, you do want to call out evil, but does that mean I can criticize on social media? Because that's really fun to do. Response theater. Like, you all have been there. You all look at the comments, and it's just fun. Like, because they battle, and they go crazy, and it's really, there's some really ignorant stuff. And it's entertaining to read. Grab your popcorn and read a bunch of comments, right? Before you get involved, here are 7 questions to ask yourself. So you may need to, I don't know, put this on the back of your phone or something. Number one, is it true? Like, that's the biggest one. Oh, my goodness. That's, in our culture, like, you cannot believe stuff just because it's on your phone. And I know that sounds really basic and simplistic, but I'm always floored by the stuff that people do believe just because they saw it or somebody shared it. I'm going to get wound up because I'm going to get into school stuff before I'll just stop right there. Is it true? That's the first question you need to ask. Number 2, is it well timed? Proverbs 26, 7 and 9, and Piper wrote, fools wield Proverbs wrongly. Like, that's just because they're quoting Bible verses, or just because you want to quote a Bible verse, is that the right time to do that? It should be well-timed as well. Just because it might be the right thing to say biblically may not be the right time. Ben? And once you click it, then it knows you clicked it, and you're going to see more of it. Like, we can talk about the algorithm, and you know, any social media account has an algorithm. They know what you like. They know how long your eyeballs stick on a picture or a post, and that all goes into the algorithm, so you're just going to be seeing more and more of that. So once you click on one untrue argument, you're going to see 5 more in the next hour. So it's just really, you can go down these rabbit holes and get into a lot of trouble. So be careful. Number 3, is it edifying? And we've talked a lot about how we should be edifying. Is it right for the audience? Social media lacks context, privacy, and emotion. Okay? I can think of a few times when I've posted something that it just, because of that lack of context, you look back and you're like, well, that didn't come off like I thought it was going to. I mean, that even goes for like emails and texts. Like, I'm an emoji guy, just because I think that puts a little bit of like context into what I'm saying, because you know your sarcasm and other things can get way off task in a hurry. Is it aimed at future unity? That's a good one. Like, what is your goal for this? Are you wanting to unify and resolve something, or are you just wanting to shoot an arrow and keep the conflict going? Is it angry? And will it magnify Christ? So if you answer good to all of those questions, then go ahead and post it. So your post may drop a little bit. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but what do I reach for in the morning? Like, I have a problem with this. I'm guessing I'm not the only one that has a problem with reaching for their phone first thing in the morning. I'll even wake up like an hour before I have to get up. I'll grab the phone because I know the alarm is going to go off, and I'll put it beside me like a security blanket. It's just bizarre how obsessed we've become with our cell phones. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be as hard.
Right.
Because everybody has it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a really good book on this topic.
Yeah, thank you. 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You is the name of the book. Some good stuff in there. And you're exactly, like, if we're talking about the computer, like, that can sit at your desk. Even a laptop. You're not taking that, typically, taking it to bed with you, or it's not in your pocket. Like, I'm touching my cell phone right now. Like, we can't get rid of it. So, how can we help? Why do we go for our phones first thing in the morning or other moments? So these are the reasons we do it, and then we'll get into how we can do better. Number one, novelty candy. We want to get caught up. We want to see what's the latest. What news can I go tell other people that I saw first? Ego candy. You check your likes, your mentions. Entertainment candy, the need to be constantly entertained. And we are such in that culture. Like, I'm brushing my teeth, and I need something to entertain me while I brush my teeth. How sad is that? Or the people, not me, of course, but the people driving down the road looking at their phones. Like, it's that constant need to be entertained. And that leads to the avoidance. So what are we avoiding by doing that? We're avoiding boredom. We don't, heaven forbid, we're bored for 10 minutes. Avoiding responsibility. I should be doing this, but this is in my pocket, and I'll just do this instead. And the last one is avoiding hardship. Like, life is tough, and there's drama, and there's angst, and instead of dealing with that, I'm just going to hop on my phone and scroll or play Candy Crush or something that I don't have to deal with this, because I'm just going to focus on this that doesn't require any of my responsibilities. So the second part of that, how do we avoid starting our day with that candy or that avoidance? So Piper says there's a better way to start the day, and you all know where this is going, like read your Bible and pray. That's the Sunday school answers, right? There's a Bible app, morning devotionals, an alarm set to worship music. Like, there are intentional things that we can do to avoid that trap of picking your phone up and doing social media first. In the morning, we wake up desperate for God to act. Psalms 5, 90, 143, and we should turn to his word. This must be planned, and I think this is the important part of that. It has to be intentional. Like, we're not going to do it if it's not intentional. And Piper says, the morning's first decision must be made the night before. And that was really like, absolutely, John Piper, because in the morning I'm not going to think, oh, I better get that devotional out because I said that was what I was going to start doing. But if you plan on that the night before and you set it up, And it's got to be intentional. And it's a habit, so you have to break the bad habit and start the new habit. Thoughts about mornings? Or anybody else have a good way that they do it? Yeah. Yes.
So when we fear God, when God is first in our lives, our actions follow suit. We're still sinful people, we're still going to sin.
Sure.
But our lives begin to go more and more and more in that direction, right?
Yes.
It becomes less and less and less of an issue. So on that topic, I know even I actually was thinking about a John Piper interview where somebody said, well, I wish I could get rid of my TV so I'd have more time to spend reading my Bible. He said, you got it all backwards. You know, he said, I got rid of my TV because I didn't have time for it because I was reading my Bible.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes you can get that backwards. It's not that doing certain things is not helpful. It certainly is. And oftentimes the short-term solution to a long-term problem, though.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term problem is how much do you fear God, how much do you respect God, how much do you want to glorify Him.
Right.
The things we do, the things we say, the interactions we have.
So putting God first in our lives and really becoming passionate about the right things, that will lead naturally to taking care of this. And you're right. You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
I think this is a really important thing to talk about because our phones do like mess with our brains. Like it is very hard to break the addiction. And our brains like doing what is easy and what's easier, reading a book or just scrolling on your phone. So, we're going to pick the easy thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just as bad.
Right.
It's still sinful. So, yeah, just really protecting ourselves and guarding our own heart is really important.
Yeah, that's a really good thought that just because you're not actively involved in those comments, you're still getting involved in that drama and you're thinking about it and it's festering in your heart. And just fencing your mind. And you know, we do want God to be top and we do want Him to be the priority, and that takes discipline though, and sometimes we're not going to want to dig into the scriptures and we're not going to want to wake up and do a morning devotional, but showing the discipline and getting into that habit leads then more and more you're going to crave it and you're going to it's just going to expound from there. But to start with, sometimes we have to be really disciplined. Casey. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the stuff. Really, I think we need to be more careful about some of the stuff that on the surface looks like it's pointing to God or Christian. This is the truth, and we can cross-check everything with that. But those are, really good thoughts. Starting the morning with that that social media feed, it's stressing your brain out. So instead of stressing your brain out, start with something that's going to give you life and give you some positive for the day. So one of the other questions that was asked, and I didn't even include all the questions that are in that book. So again, if you want the book, there's lots more, and you can find it on his app or his website too. But how do I break an online addiction to good things? Okay, so we've talked a lot about all the bad, evil things that come from social media and the internet, but there's also some really good things. But we can get addicted to that too. Like, obviously, you know, like you can be addicted to all kinds of horrible things on the internet or social media. But what about if I've just got a, like, I'm going there for good things, and how do we get over that? So, Piper asserts that we overuse the term addiction. I think he's probably right. Instead, we should say, I read Twitter, Facebook, blogs, news, or whatever, to sinful excess. I think that's maybe a better way to put it. Now there could be like an addiction, but I think we do probably overuse that term. We have an intensity of desire that is out of proportion. So this is good content consumed in excess. The question is not, is this wrong? The question is it wrong to do so much of this? So we're not talking here about the fights and the bad stuff. We're talking about like good stuff, but you're on your phone and you're on the computer a lot, and it's just kind of that's what you're passionate about. So Piper has responses to this dilemma. Number one, soak in scripture and shaping how you decide what habits are helpful and what habits obstruct your obedience. So is this habit helping you, or is it keeping you from being obedient? Pray for God to show you where you are wasting time and cannot see it. And that's, a lot of times we can't see it, especially if it's something that we feel like is a good thing. Like, and that's where the church body comes in, and people that you have a relationship and you're accountable to. It's like, hey, you're spending a lot of time on your phone, or you're spending a lot of time talking about this specific website that you've been into. Seek to bring the intensity of your desires into balance with the diversity of good things God gives to us. Relationships at home and work and church, as well as these other good things that we discover through the Bible reading that we are doing. It's all about balance. And then surround yourself with Christian friends who will help you discern when you lose your balance. And there's real value in that, of having somebody around you that says, in a loving way, you're losing your balance here. Let's shift it a little bit back to where it needs to be. So a few more things just to kind of wrap it up here. Put the phone away in social situations. He went on, and I just kind of put it in that one sentence there. The question was like, you know, like the question to John Piper was, we're at the dinner table, we're eating, my husband won't put away his cell phone. Like, what do I do? Well, he needs to put it up. That one was pretty simple, self-explanatory. Your phone does not need to be out in social situations. And I may be coming across like a principal there, but of course, there's times when you got to get it out for one thing or another. But I think that's something that just, when you're with somebody, be with them. And if you've got this out, you're not really with them.
How many times do you go to a restaurant and you look around Yes. at people and they're all on their phones?
Yeah. And it's sad. It's really sad. You know, movies are being watched, games are being played. Like, that's a time to bond. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because, so you may or may not know, Willow Springs Schools outlawed cell phones at school, on campus, back going into the fourth quarter. We got a lot of bad publicity for it. We got a lot of good publicity for it. But one thing, you know, we, of course, the students were not really happy about that, but we heard all kinds of positives after that. I'm actually, and the teachers, like, they talk to each other. It's amazing. Like, we're seeing those social constructs back, and it's not, you know, lunchtime, which I'm sure for the teachers is a little more chaotic, but they're actually visiting, and, you know, some of those relationships are coming back that do not require a phone. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Don't bring that. Yeah. The teachers are told not to have their phones out in class unless there's an emergency. Yes, right. No, that, yeah. Funny social media post went around of, like, before we did this, our high school principal, assistant principal, and SRO were standing along the wall, and they all had their phone out, and some kid, of course, took a picture of it and put it on. So that was a fun one. But no, our teachers try not to have theirs out either. All right, so this was, you probably feel really bad about this Sunday school lesson. I'm sorry. It's convicted me too. Yes, Khalil.
Just to comment on that, one passage that comes to mind talking about all the conviction, which is good, toward Jesus' talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 12. He says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being able to speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks," is what we've been talking about. And then he says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it."
Yeah.
Something to remember is that none of us can do this. None of us will do this. There's only been one person who
yes.
did it perfectly. And so I think that the danger is once we recognize this, instead of just trying to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and do a bunch of putting a bunch of rules in place, like Ricky was saying, that first and foremost, I would say we go to Hebrews 12, which says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run the race with the endurance of the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." So we just need to go back to the gospel.
Yeah.
This is the whole matter. My motivation is not to try harder.
Yes.
To say, "Well, I did." It's to realize you're never going to do this perfectly.
Like no.
Pastor's saying, even if you don't comment, you're still doing it in your heart, in your head, in your mind. And so I think that's the thing, the danger is we can forget that.
Yes. It's the right heart, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good way to kind of summarize all of this and close it up today, because we don't want to be legalistic about it. We can't do it. We can't put a bunch of rules on it and make it happen. We do want to be intentional, and we do want to screen it as best that we can. No pun intended there. But you do want to stay out of the legalistic ditch. There's some social media fasting that we talk about. That's just a good idea to do once in a while, whether it's legalistic or not. Just take a break from social media, and then don't fall in love with the trappings of the world. So put your phones up before church starts, and have a good day.